This is that other sports shit. Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. We appreciate you taking time out of your week, your weekend, your morning, your evening, your afternoon. If you are listening in the car, turn it up. If you are listening in the gym, one more rep. It's still your motherfucking set. Hashtag IS, what is it? ISYMFS? I think I got that right. That of the sports show. Show 21, I believe. Jesse Thomas is here. I'm here. We are doing early riser show. Funny thing happened. We did what? Six consecutive Wednesday shows.
It was a good streak.
Yeah, it was. And when we say it was, it means it ended. It's over. it's going to be unique what happens the next 4 or 5 weeks because, Jesse, when are you going to Buffalo?
So I will be in Buffalo, I believe it's Friday, the 28th of October.
Okay, so that's like week 8, week 9. Okay.
Yeah, so we'll be back a little bit.
I'm going to guess for at least the next 4 weeks, this is probably going to be right around when we're taping the show. Either a morning show or a late Thursday or Friday show. I guess we got to figure that out, right?
Yeah, most likely the way it's going to be is we're going to have a whole lot of early riser shows.
Which I'm good with. Yeah. So we'll figure it out. And I kind of like doing the early riser football shows because we get the closer lines. And we also know on fights who is out, who's couldn't make weight. And that stuff's kind of important. Jess, how are you?
I'm feeling good.
You a little tired?
For it being 6:09 a.m. in the morning not having to get up early because it's a Saturday, I'm doing
good. You did the right thing. You committed to the show, is what you did.
I am. I'm fully committed
to the bit.
I am fully committed. This is me showing my commitment to doing this podcast on a basis.
I'm fucking inspired. I was going to say expired. I'm still waking up, too. I have no bang. I have no caffeine. Oof, I have a little sativa in me, but I got a G0 here. I got water here, so we're going to figure it out. Deep breath. I want to try and fire through these lines, Jess. I'm going to go, if you don't mind, bad games, sexy games, fights, out. How's that sound?
Let's do it. We are going to talk a little bit about Triller, right? I want to throw it in.
Yeah, fights out. I'm paying for that bitch. I'm going to talk about it.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to go bad games first. I'll throw lines at you if you need them. I don't want to spend a ton of time on these games, guys. Atlanta, Philadelphia. This is a bad game. Who you got?
I've got Atlanta. Atlanta by 6.
Okay. Atlanta is a 3.5-point dog. Or a favorite. 3.5-point favorite.
Ooh.
This is bowling shoe ugly. This is going to be a shootout, I'd bet, though. Whatever. I don't know. I switched screens here, so I don't know what the over point total is. I'd take it. Hey, here's my first advice gambling-wise this week. Bet over on almost every fucking game. I would bet over on almost every fucking game. If I'm thinking, am I betting over or under here? I'm fucking betting the over. We're going to get a lot of bad defense this week. We're going to get a lot of teams trying to just figure it out with their defensive backs and shit like that. And offenses can always throw deep balls. Quarterbacks can throw deep balls. Receivers can get under them. Defenses can break down. Runs can occur. I'm a lot more confident betting over. So let me hop off of that. Atlanta wins. Next game, not sexy. Minnesota, Cincinnati. This is not sexy to me. I don't like this. And I'm interested because, Jess, I think we talked a lot about Minnesota during our picks.
We did.
Over under. But now I'm starting to get the same vibe that we were throwing out, which is people are all over Minnesota. They either love them or they hate them. Minnesota, Cincinnati. Who you got?
I could preach all day about how Kirk Cousins doesn't get enough credit for what he does on the football field. But motherfucker, you got to go win a playoff game.
He's a great regular season quarterback.
At this rate, though, they have so much more firepower than the Eagles. Poor Joe Burrow. He's probably going to lose another kneecap this season.
Jesus.
I'm giving this game to Minnesota.
Minnesota wins. Minnesota is a 3-point favorite, by the way. So I would take that. I think we're going to have some teams that lay down, and I think Bengals are going to be one of them. Minnesota. Yeah. Next non-sexy game. This is a wide spread, 7.5 on the road, San Francisco at Detroit. I mean, we could talk about San Francisco's Super Bowl aspirations, but they're playing at Detroit. And Detroit, we've made it very clear, we think is going to be one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah, I mean, without spending a whole lot of time, we already talked about it on the show a couple weeks back when we did the NFC over-unders. Detroit just doesn't have enough firepower. And as much as I actually do like Jared Goff, I think that he's, you know, he's like Alex Smith reincarnated.
Oh,
but smaller hands.
Thank you.
And maybe a little less fortitude. Because I mean, Alex Smith's leg fell off and they reattached it and he still came back and played football.
And then I think it fell off again and then he played some more.
So, without spending too much time, San Francisco should walk through Detroit.
I think it's tragic now when I hear Alex Smith's name and the first thing that pops in my mind is the visual of his wife in the stands realizing her husband's going back into a game. Like he's going to play a football game after having this reconstructive knee surgery where, like you said, he almost lost his leg. And it went from, oh, this is a cool story because he's holding a clipboard to, oh, fuck, he's going to actually go out there and play and this team's really bad.
Yeah,
Real quick,
to piggyback off that, I watched the Florida State Notre Dame game last week, and the quarterback for Florida State, Milton, can't remember his name. Mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely destroyed his knee at I believe it was South Florida. He came in late in the game to try to help Florida State with the comeback. And his mom immediately burst into tears. Like the last time she saw her baby boy play was laying on the ground, writhing in agony, thinking that he may never walk right again. And now he's playing a football game. Super crazy.
Football's an emotional sport, man. It is an emotional sport. You don't realize it until you have like a kid playing. And then you're like, wow, football's an emotional sport. Speaking of college football, because now we're doing that thing. Did you realize or did you notice there's going to be some Notre Dame football games on Peacock this season?
You know what, man? As far as stations go and streaming and who's got rights to what, I'm lost as fuck.
Yeah, but do you understand what's happening here? Do you understand they're monopolizing college football at a whole nother level here?
Oh, it's happening.
They're saying if you want to watch Notre Dame football, if you've watched Notre Dame football with your grandfather, with your father, it's usually a tradition in specific states. You gotta have the cock now. You gotta have Peacock. You gotta pay to watch Notre Dame football. I just want to repeat that because usually Notre Dame's been on NBC for I don't know how many years. As long as I've been watching college football, give or take 30 plus years. So what you're telling me now is it's not going to be on regular NBC. I got to pay now to watch Notre Dame football. Unfucking real. The Peacock did this with the USA Hoops. And I went, all right, you motherfuckers are sneaky. But now you're doing it with Notre Dame football. This is criminal. This is fucking criminal. I'm not happy about this. And thumbs down, Peacock. And I would absolutely cancel the shit out of you if you didn't have the WWE Network and all of its amazing streaming services.
Exactly.
I got no choice.
Thank God for the WWE Network.
I mean, yeah, but fuck Peacock. What are you doing here? LA charges against the Washington football team. I mean, it's not a fun game. It's a bowling shoe ugly game. Chargers are a 1-point favorite on the road. I guess this has some sex appeal, but I don't think it has a ton just because I think it's kind of one-sided. Who you got?
This is a poor man's Apollo Creed, the pretty boy, the flashy.
I love that.
You know, and then Rocky Balboa. And Rocky represents the Redskins. And
yes,
the Redskins Washington are not pretty. Okay, they are not going to go out and win any competitions. They're not going to win the bottom of the year award. But what they will do is send Chase Young's big ass around that edge to destroy your quarterback every single down, and he will do it like probably 70% of the time. This defense is built for the 70s, and I love watching them play. They're gritty and they are mean. Yep. But then on the other side of the ball, you got Ryan Fitzpatrick, the guy who's played for, and you know, he'll give you 6-7 games. We already talked about this on our over-under show. He'll give you 6 or 7 games, but eventually, or in between those games, he will give you complete eggs. And now on the other side, you got Apollo flashy, dancing around, throwing the jabs, and that's Justin Herbert. He's the new pretty boy on the block. Everybody fell in love with Justin Herbert from last year. Well, let me tell you this. Take the Redskins. I'm giving you the juice right now.
There it is. Take I've been waiting the
skins
for it.
Because that defense is going to punch pretty boy Apollo right in the mouth. Watch for Herbert to have a rough day, okay? You can sit there and say whatever you want. I'm crazy. It's too early, Jesse. You shouldn't be saying
this
shit.
No, this is a good take.
He's going to get punched in the mouth, and it happens to young quarterbacks, and it has to happen to young quarterbacks for them to grow. This week one game will be a Herbert. But take the skins. They are going to win this football game.
I love the take. I just don't agree with it. I think that the Washington football team is going to be fun if you like you said, 80s-style football. They're going to run the football a lot. They're going to throw a lot of screen passes when they can't run the ball. And they're going to play tough defense. I think the Chargers, like you mentioned here, they do got a little bit of sex appeal. They got Allen back. They got a handful of running backs they're going to throw at you. But I think Herbert's great. And you were a big day one Herbert guy. So I'm surprised you're hitting him over the head like this.
I like Herbert. I do.
I think that LA wins this game late. This is going to be like a 2017 type game. Where LA punches in a field goal and then the Redskins can't respond. They win like 23-17 on the road. But if Vegas is giving it a 1 point, you know, 1 point for LA on the road, and you know me, Jess, it's the first time I get to see it all season, I believe. West Coast team traveling east.
Ooh, there we go.
Never a fan of it. I mean, but the fact that Vegas is not even giving Washington the 3-point hook at home, to me, that just the smarts might be smelling something we don't.
The disrespect levels in Washington are crazy right now.
And also, and I'm a firm believer in this again, we're not going to get the Tampa Bay versus Dallas shootouts 40-37 on every,
good God,
every
thank
game.
You for that game.
We're not going to get that every game because some, as much as I just said, well, you know, we're going to get a lot of offense. We're going to get some rusty teams. We're going to get teams that don't start scoring until the third, fourth quarter. We're going to get slower starts. And I can see this being one of those games where they just don't get off the blocks right. New York, Carolina, Jess, this stinks in my opinion. Who you got? The Jets, by the way.
Yes, of course. What everybody's going to talk about is this is going to be potentially the Sam Darnold revenge game.
Oh, I like it.
I got to experience the Mitchell Trubisky revenge game a few weeks back in preseason against the Bears.
You're here to verify it's real.
Okay, so it is a real thing. And as Jay mentioned earlier, if you have played football or any type of sport, right, like and you're in front of people and your family or you're watching your kid play a sport, emotions run crazy high. And you cannot tell me that Sam Darnold's thinking, fuck the New York Jets. They tried to screw my career, and then they trade me to Carolina thinking that they're going to just get rid of me? No. One, motherfuckers, here we go. You know that's Darnold's mentality right now.
Yeah, he's going to go out slinging.
And here's the thing. I'm not saying Darnold's even going to go out and have a – personally have a lot of faith in Sam Darnold as a quarterback.
Yeah. He's going to go out slinging. I didn't say it's going to be good.
See, exactly. But I do believe that the Carolina Panthers are a better football team than the New York Jets. And I believe the Jets were one of our teams that we chose to be in the very bottom half of the NFL.
So, we hated both of these teams.
So I'm we kind of hate it on both, but I'm taking the better of the worst, and that's for me, that's the Carolina Panthers.
Panthers 5 at home. That's a funny number. This feels like a game where it gets away from the Jets early, and they I don't want to say that they called off the dogs, but they kind of surrender and just run the ball a bunch. I don't think the Jets score 17 points here. I just pumped up the number and told everyone take the over, but I think this might be one of those games where Carolina scores 27 points because they just run it up. You know what I'm saying? They're getting breakout running plays and, you know, fucking McCaffrey, big fantasy McCaffrey game.
Yes.
Right, this is that. Oh, this is why he's the number one pick every single year game. Cause he gets like 37 points in one fucking game. And it's this game against the Jets.
It will be this game.
I'm with you. I'm going Carolina. I don't love it. Two stinky teams. That's why this is why we're trying not to spend a ton of time on this game. Stinky game, Jacksonville versus Houston. I mean, this game fucking stinks. I'm sorry, Justin Muntin. We love you. We know you're traveling. We hope you crammed our podcast in during some of this traveling you're doing. But yeah, this is a fucking terrible game. Bowling Shoe Ugly. Just what you got.
It's ugly as fuck, but I'm giving my love this morning to, drumroll please, Mr. Tyrod Taylor and Houston Texans. We're going to go and see one of the sloppiest, slowest played football games in a very long time. But Tyrod Taylor is going to come out on top, and the Houston Texans are going to be 1-0 to start the season. So, Mr. Justin Von Doom, that's my love to you, brother. I'm giving it to you this week, week one. You may not get it weeks 2 through 17.
Enjoy it while you can.
Enjoy it while you can.
Fucking Texans shirt at work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Get them all out. Wear them all. Wear those fucking t-shirts. I had a joke and I just lost it, but it was Texans related. Hey, I like the Jags here. I like the Jags on the road. I like the rookie QB, and I just don't like the Texans. We just talked about the two worst teams in the previous game, but no, these are the two worst teams right here. This is 31-32 playing against each other. Yeah. So
a Super Bowl of sorts.
A Super Bowl of stank. And I'm going with the Jags in the Super Bowl of stank. The Texans have fucking given up on themselves. It's a fire sale there. They're trading everybody. That fucking coach is dead man walking like you wouldn't believe. I feel like I'm saying that every time we talk about the Texans now. That guy's got to go home at night, put his hat on the fucking rack and explain to his wife that fire sale that he's walking out of every single day. At least the Jags are fat as fuck, though, right? Hey, we've all been there, right? We've all been in a place where we're just like, God, I hate this fucking job. But those checks, let me tell you, Jesus.
When those checks roll in.
you hate your job Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday the check hits, and you're like, all right, I'm going Jags. And that's it. I'm not spending any more fucking time on this game. Let me do this. Over under touchdowns thrown for the kid, and I'm going to set it at 3.5, which is kind of high. Over under.
I'll take the under.
Can't be honest. I set that up for a reason. I think he throws 4 touchdowns. I go over. I think he goes.
I knew you had a plan. I had a plan. Feel the scheme.
I did. I'm telling you right now. He's gonna throw 4 or 5 touchdowns. That team, the Texans, are fucking bad. And Tyrod Taylor's gonna go out there and run that manageable offense. You know, I'm just gonna game manage. Shit's not gonna work.
They've got like 6 running backs. They don't. They're all gonna get the ball.
Are they all gonna? They're gonna line they're gonna one up at tight end.
45-year-old Brandon Cooks is still out there catching passes.
Are they gonna run like an eye offense where they got 2 backs out there?
They might as well.
Denver, New York. It's a later game, but this game stinks. Who you got?
I got Denver in the battle of quarterbacks who we're not sure if they belong in the league. At least the starting quarterbacks.
Still trying to figure it out.
And that includes Drew Locke also. About that guy either, but apparently neither is Denver. I'm still going to take the Broncos. I think the Broncos defense is their fire still, and I think that Daniel Jones. I don't know if the guy is just in his head or, but I'm guessing it's a mental break down somewhere, and just nothing seems to go all in order for him the entire game. He makes a lot of mistakes, a lot of errors, a lot of overthrown passes, a lot of underthrown passes. And I just don't like him with Von Miller all up in his grill for 2 hours, you know. So I'm taking the Broncos.
This is the game where you draft Saquon and then you go, oh, man, this is not a good game. If he plays. I don't even know if he's going to play. But that offense is going to run into problems. Denver's a 3-point favorite on the road. West traveling to East. I'm telling you, Vegas does not give a flying fuck with what they're doing with these lines. I don't know if I've said this, but I want to make this point as well. If your team looks bad this week, and I'm just talking to anybody listening, it's okay. Because, again, these fuckers didn't really play any preseason games. These fuckers are all just getting back in the swing of things. And they're also realizing we've got an extra game on the schedule to figure it out. So if your team looks shitty, that's okay, in my opinion. I don't know what New York's gonna do. I like Denver. I know I said bet the over on every game. This might be the exception. This might be the one you can call me out on when it's 9-13 as a fucking final. I'm going Denver, and I don't love it. That, in my opinion, is the end of the real, real ugly games. I'm gonna come back up here and go Arizona, Tennessee. God damn, I love this game. Who you got?
My boy, shout out to my boy Mike. He is a diehard Cardinals fan. And I mean, you can tell by the way he drafted. Diehard fan from their fantasy football team. Like, they'll pass up Stephon Diggs for, like, you know, Kendrick Bourne or whatever, like the third string wide receiver is for, you know, like, they'll do it.
Well, they're taking DeAndre Hopkins.
They're taking Hopkins. I know. I'm sticking with my boy, though. My boy in the Arizona Cardinals. I think that I'm not super positive about this, but I just feel like the firepower is there. And if Cliff Kingsbury can just offense into a little bit more of a role a little bit earlier on in the game, I think that they can really put up some points and do some damage on the board. But on the other side, I mean, Derrick Henry's a beast, and he's going to be tossing people like 13 yards down the field with big ass, you know, meat hook, stiff arms and all sorts of stuff. It's going to be crazy. And again, I'm going to go, I think defensively, I think the Cardinals may be on par, if not a little bit more athletic than the Tennessee Titans. So, and just firepower alone, I got to go with Arizona.
Do you think Kyler Murray gets the same pass? Or he doesn't get a pass if he sucks this year. Let me rephrase the question. Do you think he takes the abuse that Lamar Jackson takes if he sucks this year?
No, not at all.
All right. That's fair.
The question of that question is, you know, it's a win now league, so quarterbacks, you know, you got to come in and win games now or you're gone. If you're going to compare
he ain't won shit. Lamar's won.
Yeah, so. if you're going to compare it to Lamar, I mean, Lamar Jackson may be, and I have no idea who has all won MVPs throughout the history of the NFL, but he's got to be one of the most disrespected MVPs, former MVPs of all time. I mean, he came in and had a year. His team went like 15-1, like twice.
It was ridiculous.
The kid just gets trashed on all the time. And by the way, I'm not doing to Lamar what I did to Cam back in the day. It took me a long time to love on Cam. I'm gonna sit here and tell you I love Lamar Jackson.
Wasn't ready for this.
He comes out, he's pumped, he's a good teammate, he puts in hard work, and just, you know, whatever the quarterbacking situation is, the technique, the you know, whatever it may be.
Jess, we're really going to stray away here, but I want to follow up.
Please.
Do you think Lamar gets beat up a little bit because, I mean, he's not anti-vax, but he's kind of anti-vax. Like, he hasn't really come out and made a definitive statement. He does the runaround thing. The same thing Josh Allen's kind of doing.
Yeah, Josh Allen's doing it. Ooh, have we just hit a...
I'm trying to do this. See what I'm doing here? I'm circling.
I see what you're doing. Because, oh, man, I don't know. I don't even know if I want to touch this question on the show. Look.
On this show, this is your show. You don't have a choice.
Look, Lamar Jackson gets enough bashing on a daily basis for being a mediocre passer with the most fantastic legs in all of the NFL. And people consistently, I mean, Jay, you see it on Twitter and stuff all the time. Oh, he's the best running back in the league. Such blatant disrespect to a former MVP quarterback. You threw like for like 2,500 yards.
It's funny. I laugh.
These people drive me nuts. And yes, in this day and age with the anti-vax versus the vaxxers, I think that maybe that adds on to some of it. As far as Josh Allen goes, I'm just going to say it, man. He's your fun-loving, big-ass country white boy.
Here we go.
And people love him. Nothing but love. And, you know, I don't. If you want to make it a race thing, make it a race thing. If you want to just make it a Buffalo Bills versus a thing, do it.
Make it a vax versus anti-vax. We're touching everything here.
But I'm telling you right now, there's should be no difference between the love that both Josh gets and Lamar. And speaking from a fan of football, I believe Lamar deserves a little bit more love because he's done a little bit more than Josh.
It's tricky because, again, I think he gets beat up a ton for whatever reason. I feel like sometimes he's easy to pick on because his flaws he hasn't corrected, and he isn't really apologetic about it. You know, it's the Vic thing. True. Where Vic just for 7 or 8 years was an amazing athlete that could throw an amazing, had a zip like a motherfucker on his ball. And everybody just went, yeah, but he's not like learning football. He's just relying on his athleticism, which we just want him to learn football. And I wonder if we're doing that with Murray now, where we go, I like to circle back around, where we go, all right, there is no more of the baseball shit. You know what I'm saying? There's no more any of that. Your primary focus the last 3 years, I believe now, should have just been football. So are we going to see progression? Are we going to see regression? Or are we going to see it right where you were at? Because right where you were at wasn't bad. But if you're going to go to the next level, we've got to see progression, bottom line.
Got to get
that. Tennessee, 3-point favorite at home, by the way, Jess. You going Arizona? You going Tennessee? I know we were bouncing around. I didn't get it.
Yeah, we did. We bounced around a lot. We did. We just hit a lot of targets right there. Again, Arizona Cardinals going to win this week one matchup.
Wow, there it is. I disagree. Tennessee at home.
Giving the love to Kyler.
After I did that. I'm doing the opposite. I'm doing the opposite. I'm giving the love to Julio Jones. I think Julio Jones working with the kid is A.J. Brown, I believe.
A.J. Brown.
It's going to make him an all better wide receiver. Tannehill has no excuses now. He's got targets. He still has probably the most elite running back in the league. The one person people don't want to tackle. And you know, you and I both love us some big hoss Derrick Henry. So we can wax poetically about him for the next 17 weeks early in the morning. I am going with the Tennessee Titans. Close game. I think it's going to be something like 27-23. Something like that. So I think they just beat the three. Let me hop over to another sexy game here because I was jumping. I don't want to do Pittsburgh Buffalo. I'm trying to save that for a little later. Seattle Indy. Indy's weird. Seattle traveling. Seattle might be weird, right? Are we finally going to hit that point with Seattle where we just give up on them in regards to a good football team? Seattle is a 2.5-point favorite on the road. Jess, who you got?
First of all, I don't want to hate on that line. I think it's a good line. I think that Seattle
on the road.
Yeah, Indy's done nothing in the last few years to really prove themselves.
Come on, they were in the playoffs the year they were good.
Old man Rivers took them to the playoffs. I get it.
Beating them up.
They almost beat Buffalo.
They almost beat your Bills.
This is a completely different team. And Carson Wentz got the green light, so he will be starting week one. So we'll get to see what Carson's made of.
That I still don't understand.
I'm very confused.
Steroids.
It's got to be steroids.
Everybody's on steroids. Everybody's on fucking steroids.
They were putting roids in his Jack and
drops.
Whiskey. Like, the whole meal deal. His eggs loaded.
That's a good. Listen, here's 6 eggs for your protein in the morning. And we're just gonna spread it on here like butter.
You're right though. Both these teams are super weird teams. Like neither team has an idea.
Is anyone gonna be? Are these Super Bowl contending teams? Are they gonna be good teams? Are they gonna be no? Wow,
I think Seattle will be a good team. I think Indianapolis will be a decent team.
Mid to quote MJF.
Yes, exactly. They're going to be a mid. Mid.
I love that.
I'm telling you.
I fucking love that.
AEW has been ruling my life for the last.
Oh, my God. Fucking mid. So the Colts are going to be mid.
They're going to be mid. They're going to be mid. The Seahawks are going to be better for the simple fact that they have Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is a future first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback, and he will do whatever it takes to win football games. We've seen him do it for the past like 5 years with no fucking offensive line.
It's going to be the same thing. Any receivers God.
Throw the ball to.
Well, the receivers are a lot better now, but it's going to be shaky offensive line, shaky taped together defense, and Russ has the ball with 2 minutes left, and they win by three or four. That's what we're going to get, right?
Yeah. So in this case, long answer, shortened, taking the Seahawks.
Yeah, I just did the spoiler alert. I got to see the Colts. I got to watch the Colts. The Colts are going to be my red zone team this year, where I'm not really watching any Colts games. I'm just watching all their highlights. So I'll probably drink a bunch of Colts Kool-Aid and then be like, wait, and then watch one of their games and be like, wait a minute, they're boring. They're terrible. No wonder. I bought their shit on red zone. I'm going Seattle. I'm going to hop back up to – I'm jumping around here. We did this game. I'm jumping into the 1 o'clock games now, and I'm going to try and go least sexy to sexy, but they're getting sexy now. Miami-New England. Ooh, this is unique. A lot of people. Our boy, shout out our boy, Mr. Staley. I think he's in Miami. A lot of people drinking that Miami Kool-Aid. I don't know why. It really falls in the hands of Tua, right? I think we did this take during the over-unders, but Miami traveling to New England. We got an AFC East matchup. Who you got?
Well, I'm going to tell you what. They're over-under. So I don't think people are expecting too much from either of these teams. You're talking about a 43.5 over-under. It's pretty small.
Yeah, the 2.5 is interesting to me because they're at home, which with 2.5 at home for New England, man, that smells. This football smells.
I give that to the old rich white people who always love Bill Belichick winning football games.
I mean, he's also owned the Dolphins. There's that.
He has owned basically the AFC East for the last 20.
So who you got?
I got to go with the kid.
Which kid?
I got to go with Mac Jones.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Mac Jones going to go out there.
When you said
there.
The kid, I thought you were going to say Tua, and I was like, hold up, and then I forgot that Patriots have a kid now.
Well, you're going to see Mac go out there. He's going to put together a little bit of a show. He's got some weapons. He's got I'm telling you what, I think game changer for the New England Patriots is going to be the rookie running back out of Oklahoma, Ramondre Stevenson. That kid is a burner, a straight burner. Get him the ball in the flat and watch him run, and he's going to be a game changer. I'm taking the Patriots, man. Mac Jones.
Yeah.
Beat up Tua.
I just have a hard time picking the Dolphins to beat the New England Patriots based off their history the past 15 years or however long it's been that Belichick's been in charge there. And I'm going New England. I said this was a sexy game, but the more I think about it, maybe it's not sexy. Maybe it's kind of bowling shoe ugly. And I could see a scenario here. Again, I said bet the over on every game. Now I'm kind of swallowing that because I don't know if I'd bet the over on this one. What did you say the over was? Over under? You said it was 40?
43.5.
2023. That's 43 points. Oh, dude, that's they're in their bag. Fucking Vegas. Yeah. Well, maybe bet the over. Maybe. I'm taking it. Why not? Bad defenses. I mean, I'm taking the Kool-Aid again.
We don't fucking push here. We don't fucking push.
We're not doing pussy week one.
Taking the over. Give us the over.
Green Bay, New Orleans. Oof, this is sexy. Who you got?
I love this game.
Who you got?
I love this game because I super want to piss everybody off and take the Saints and just throw Jameis Winston like, you know, he's going to toss. He's going to toss like 530.
Are they playing? For like three touchdowns. So this game is in Jacksonville. This game isn't even in New Orleans.
It's in Jacksonville. So neutral field.
Oh, God.
So the Saints fans, who that
are not there. Who that nation bring will not be in. There. The NFL will bring in like 500 or something stupid like that, but they're not going to be there.
I mean, they could have relocated to Jacksonville, seeing how it's not underwater, but
Who the fuck's going to be at this game between Packers fans and Saints fans in Jacksonville?
Especially Packers fans. I mean, look. Yeah. You're talking about a bunch of country bumpkins. No offense, Wisconsin. I love you.
I just feel bad for the Packer fan that paid money. And he was on the fucking fence all year. Like, I got this ticket. Should I sell it? What am I going to do? Is Rodgers even going to fucking play? Is he going to get traded? I've invested. Right. And then he comes back and you're like, fuck yeah, I'm going to New Orleans. And then this happens. Right. And it kind of sounds like an asshole coming from this person's perspective now. Cause fuck him. Like, what about all the people in New Orleans? But again, going back to his perspective, now he's like, fuck, I booked this flight. I booked this hotel. Now I got to get refunds. Now I got to go find a hotel in Jacksonville.
Which is not as fun as New Orleans, by the way.
And it's a little bit more sunny. Probably seeing a little bit more bikini action.
Some muggy shit.
Yeah, you're right. I'm trying to turn it around. I'm trying to turn it around. I don't have the balls that you do because I wouldn't take New Orleans in this game on a neutral field. And I'll tell you what, I've been listening to a ton of NFL stuff this week. Driving to work, in the car. It's all NFL, right? Everything shifted.
Yes. Thank God.
You don't want to hear Dodgers talks. fucking everybody loves Green Bay. Everybody loves Green Bay. Where was I when Green Bay got a defense? Was I fucking? Did they? Who the fuck? They have Reggie White.
Where was I when Rodgers got offensive help on the outside?
Rest in peace. When was Reggie White added to this defensive line? Are they going to outscore everybody? I don't even care about their offense. I want to talk about their fucking defense. I want to talk about their defense. Bottom line, like who is on their defense? Are they going to outscore everyone? Are they going to score 34, 41 points every game? I don't
top three secondary in the league.
Did they really?
Yeah.
By far. Let me shut the fuck up.
Did they really? Their secondary is out of this world good.
I'm going
led by Jared Alexander.
They're absolutely that good, Jess.
Crushing secondary.
I can't believe what you're telling me right now. I'm checking
the defensive line. I don't know much about.
Well, if their secondary is that good, then let me shut up.
They lost a couple points.
All right, I'm looking to their secondary now.
See,
Alexander, Amos, El Savage is pretty good. They got some good pieces.
They also have some young pieces. They have some rookies out there. They have some two-year guys out there that are.
You gotta have someone they can get to the quarterback. It doesn't matter how good your defensive backs are if they're back there running around wide receivers are making their own fucking routes. I don't love them. But with that said, I'm taking the pack.
As you should.
4-point favorite, and that could get messy early. I'm going messy early. I'm going New Orleans has their head up their ass, unfortunately, and I am going. I'm all in. I'm going.
Here's what I'm thinking. It could go one of two ways for the Packers. Either they're going to go in there and everything's going to click. Aaron Rodgers and Randall Cobb going to go back to like 1998 or whenever they were last playing, and they're going to like be hooking up all over the field. You're going to get some of these other guys, coming off and playing well. The Lazards and the MVSs of the world.
The love for Rodgers and the energy he's going to bring to that team.
And Aaron Rodgers
is going to show up on the field.
Look, we just got done talking about Mitchell Trubisky's revenge game. We talked about Sam Darnold's revenge game. Well, this is Aaron Rodgers' fuck you season. Okay?
It's not
fuck you to the fans. It's not fuck you. It's straight to the team that he's suiting up for.
Organization. It's an organizational thing.
So he is going to go.
The little man versus the men in the suits.
He's going to go and have phenomenal games. And this is a great game for him to start with because I'm not real sure about the Saints defense. Although I'm telling you, I'm falling in love with that offense, but I just can't give it to him defensively. The Packers probably run away with this early. And then Jameis throws for a shit ton of yards just trying to keep up.
A little fantasy chip in right there.
There you go.
350, 400. Over under two interceptions for Jameis. Over under 2.5.
Over.
Wow, 4. Let's go 4. So it's strong 4 on there. Aaron Rodgers is listening to Rage Against the Machine in his locker, and he's like, fuck corporations! fuck Big Business America! I'm going to go. And then the commercial for Pepsi with him is on television.
Right. State Farm.
Yeah, like State Farm. And then he shows up and for insurance of all things. Fuck corporations. I like fuck corporations, Aaron Rodgers. Let's see what he does. Yeah, I like Green Bay, and I like the four, and I don't want to spend any more time on it. Going back to our sexiness here. Oh, my goodness. I think this is sexy. Cleveland at Kansas City. God, people are blowing Cleveland. Let me tell you, Jess, who you got?
Fuck yes, they are.
They're loving them. Their defense is really, really good. Their defense is really good. I don't want to urinate on Cleveland. Their defense is really, really good, and they could run the ball. If they run the ball, they're going to be tough. It's just bottom line. They can play. We talked about the world football team, the Washington football team, and how they can be tough, and they play hard-nosed. Browns can play hard-nosed.
They do, and they're led by – let's be real, man. They're led by a hard-nosed quarterback. Give Baker whatever credit you want. Last time we spoke about Baker, I don't even think Jay and I had him in our top 20.
Yeah, no credit. I'm not giving him any credit. You come in, you're not getting it over here.
So we're not sitting here telling you that Baker Mayfield's the best thing in the world, even though I've heard crazy stuff. Baker's going to win MVP this year. Browns are going to go to the Super Bowl this year. Baker's going to throw up all these numbers, all these yards. Look, man, this team will go as far as Baker Mayfield takes them. That's the concern, is I don't believe that Baker Mayfield is a winner in the sense of, like, winning big games. He didn't do it in college. He didn't do it early in his career. He's not done it yet. The Browns, to me, have done everything for Baker that the Buffalo Bills have done for Josh Allen. Just – talent all around him.
No, you're right.
And Baker's not been to an AFC championship game and challenged the Kansas City Chiefs. Josh Allen has. And I'm not trying to compare the two quarterback skill sets. I'm just trying to compare where they're
Josh at. Allen's better.
And so Baker Mayfield, he's got the talent. Nick running back in this league. They've still got Kareem Hunt.
Yep.
If OBJ ever comes back to play football, he could be worthwhile. He could be a worthwhile streamer in your fantasy football league. At least pick up Jarvis Landry, because that guy will be getting some passes thrown to
I think Landry has a better season, by the way.
I do too. And Jay, you're right. That defense is mean and nasty. They picked up a lot of pieces. They got rid of some scrubs that
they got Myles Garrett.
A lot of money. They did some smart things. I really, really like the Cleveland Browns management team. Their front office has done great things. Kevin Stefanski is really turning out to be the head coach that you really have wanted for the past 10, 15 years. And he's doing everything by the book in the right way. But it all hinges on Baker. And I have no faith in Baker Mayfield. That being said, they're playing the best fucking team in football. The Kansas City Chiefs can put up 45 points without even breaking a fucking sweat. Tyreek Hill is going to score 2 touchdowns in this game, I guarantee you, okay? You got CEH out there going to be running the ball. They've got a couple other running backs that you really got to look out for. And then, more importantly, you still got Mecole Hardman. You got the talent is just so deep in Kansas City.
Yeah, you got probably the best quarterback.
And then bottom line, off. Yes, make me
you
choke
got,
on
you got
it,
Mahomes.
But you probably have the best quarterback in the league.
There's no way around Mahomes. It. There's no way around it.
They're going to win this football game, and they're going to do it in spectacular fashion.
If I want to say there's a chink in the armor, it's going to take that offensive line a few weeks to figure it out. They got rookies in there. They got guys coming back from COVID. They just got a bunch of weird shit going on with that offensive line. And it was clearly just an absolute mess at the Super Bowl. I'm with you, but I'm not. I think I like the 6.5. I think they beat Cleveland by 6.5, but I don't think they blow the doors off.
Double-digit win.
Yeah, see, I mean, I like where your head's at.
Whether it's 10 or 20, I'm just telling you. Right.
See, that's tricky. You want to say double digit win, I'm okay. You're throwing a 20 out there at me. You're doing Madden quit at 21 at this point.
I'm going to throw you at least 10.
I think that's fair. I think I could see it getting away from them and they win by 10 or 12 late in the game. But I think the Browns keep it competitive. The Browns just got to chew up clock, run the ball. I mean, again, you're right. It falls on Baker. You told no lies right there. I love that. I love all those takes. Kansas City, and I like 6.5. I agree with you. We are jumping back up to – okay, so I want to make sure we've hit almost every game here. So we've hit Philly, Atlanta. We've hit Minnesota, Cincinnati. We've hit San Francisco, Detroit. We've hit Arizona, Tennessee. We hit Seattle, Indianapolis. We hit LA, Washington. We hit New York, Carolina. We hit Jacksonville, Houston. We hit Cleveland, Kansas City. We hit Miami, New England. Okay. Sunday night, Chicago, the Rams. I think it's interesting. Vegas, maybe not so much. Who you got?
Well, I'm gonna tell you what you're probably thinking, and probably what the rest of the NFL pundits all over the world are thinking. This game would be a lot. It would be interesting if Justin Fields was the starting quarterback, not Andy.
I'm good with that take.
Thank you.
The commission make that call and just go, hey, listen, for this game, coach, you got to play the kid. I mean, we're just coming back. We got fans in the stands. This is a big deal for us.
We love Chris W. Powers. We get it. He's our boy. We love him. Bears fan. But what the fuck is up with your boy Nagy? Why? Yeah. You know, Aaron Donald. To like a power forward or something in the NBA.
LeBron James.
He went on for like 15 minutes about stopping Aaron Donald from scoring points. I'm like, hey, man, Aaron Donald don't score points unless he picks up a fumble and takes it into the end zone.
I think he's foreshadowing that his quarterback is so bad, he's anticipating at least six. He's like, man, if we could hold him to one touchdown, we think we got a chance.
Oh, that guy.
Nagy's fucking up just by not throwing his guy out there. And I mean, we've reached the point now where it's not the early and mid 90s where you sit quarterbacks for 8, 10, 12, 16 games anymore. The game has changed.
Yes.
You play them now. You let them get those black eyes now. I think that Hasselbeck said it the best on television the other day. And he said, the only way you're going to learn how to avoid getting hit in the mouth is by getting hit in the mouth and realizing, better not do that again. Otherwise, I'm going to get hit in the mouth. It's the only way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the Sharps love the Rams. Chicago on the road. Yeah.
They're the other darling. Besides the Green Bay Packers, I don't know if there's another darling team.
I've heard is Tampa Bay and Green Bay. Tampa Bay, Green Bay. I'm not hearing the Rams as much as you are.
I'm hearing stuff out here about Matt Stafford possibly being an MVP candidate.
I've heard that.
I've heard the Rams.
The articles are out here.
Several websites.
Yes, the articles have been written. I was miserable and now I'm happy. He's like Adam Cole, baby, leaving one organization and going to another. And he's so happy. The grass is so much greener on the other side. And now we're hearing about how terrible the other organization was and the terrible ideas they had for him.
Well, Calvin Johnson kind of let us in on that secret. So
I love Calvin. Shout out Calvin Johnson, too. I think he's promoting CBD. I think he's a can of dips guy.
Yeah, I bet he is.
I know. He's a CBD guy. All right, I'm going Rams. Heavy dose of Stafford, and I do believe in the Bears defense, but I also think that they're gonna make some mistakes, and I think that they're gonna give up 23 to 27 points, and they're definitely not scoring that. They're not putting up 23 points. I like the Rams. I don't know if I love the 7, but I like the Rams.
I like the Rams too. Definitely got that.
I saved the last game for you. I saved the sexy.
I saw
the
it.
Last sexy game on the board. I mean, we'll do the Vegas game, of course. Last is Monday night, but
yes,
Pittsburgh Buffalo.
The last.
This is a big deal. This is a big deal. Is this the Najee Harris coming out party? Is this the we see a new transformed Pittsburgh offense and Tomlin goes back to smash mouth? This guy has produced nothing but stud running backs since he's been in the NFL coaching. Is this the Buffalo Bills, Devon get the tables game where Josh Allen goes nuts and they destroy Pittsburgh and you beat a formidable AFC foe? This game is sex. This is a sexual. Who you got? I mean, I feel like I already know where you're going. Who you got?
It's like an NFL orgy over here.
It is. Warm.
You're right. I believe outside of the Tampa Bay Dallas game, which I do believe had just as many, if not more, storylines connected to that game. And by the way, I want to shout out your Dallas Cowboys and your quarterback, Dak Prescott. I have believed in Dak since he's come out and into the played. Okay, I've had Dak's back. I've beat down the haters for hating on Dak, and I'm telling you, this boy, he is ready to play some fucking football. He looked phenomenal, and yeah, he's Jay mentioned it earlier. These guys didn't play any preseason. They have rust, man. He's been dealing with minor injuries throughout training camp, and he comes out and he passes for over 400 yards and tosses a couple TDs.
Yeah, 58 very tosses.
Touchdowns, by the way. Very impressive touchdowns.
58 attempts for Dak after not throwing for basically a year.
Yeah,
in a pro game.
And let's not forget the fact that he came back from a very gruesome. We just talked about Alex Smith. We can talk about another guy. Dak's injury. I just remember him sitting there on the field, like kind of in shock, adrenaline running through his body, and he's trying to put his leg back together, like on the field. He's like, "Oh shit, I don't think my leg's supposed to be like this." So Dak, shout out to Dak Prescott for the comeback and almost. I'm sorry to say it like that, but almost getting the win against the GOAT.
Yeah.
Fuck, it's Tom Brady. You give Tom Brady a minute and 18 seconds to win a football game, you're going to lose that football game.
And he also gave him a blown offensive pass interference call, which clearly changed the entire aspect of the fuck game. I mean,
well, and then, of course, that's if you really want to get into it, if Greg the Legs or line makes two, even just one of those field goals,
no, you're right. I mean, you can only go back and look at so much in the game and go, what if?
Exactly.
That offensive PI, I mean, come the fuck on. It's all when wide receivers are on television the next day going, yeah, man, that was an offensive PI. I don't know what the fuck Ref was doing right there. I mean, Jesus Christ. I'll say this and we'll get back to your game just to put a cap on the Cowboys. Okay. And they look great. They look phenomenal. And of course, if you're a Cowboys fan, your expectations are now where they usually are, which are blown way the fuck up. I'm a firm believer, as I've said many times during this recording, it's the first game of the season. The way teams look game one are not going to look the same game five as opposed to game nine, because players are going to warm up, players are going to get back into the swing of things, but we're also going to have guys that are affected by COVID. We're going to have a bunch of different things that happen to where it's just going to be another unique season, you know, different from the last two. So the optimism as a Cowboys fan is there. The pessimism, of course, is always going to be there. Pessimistic Jay is always going to be in the building. But if I feel like if we don't reel off the next two wins, then we really got problems, because we're playing teams that aren't that great. But we're also playing in division teams. With that said, Dak is back. He looks great.
Love
defense,
Dak.
Defense looked great. They made the plays they had to. Everyone points to the four turnovers. Two of them were blatant. You know, Fournette basically pops one up. Easy yeah. turnover for great. Any defensive back. Fournette puts one on the ground because of a good punch. That's good defense. That's the one I meant.
Yeah, Ronald Jones.
Godwin puts one on the ground on the goal line on when a defensive back is basically taking a last resort. I have one chance to get a stop here, and it's by trying to attempt a fumble here, and he got it. I mean, players try that 99 out of 100 times. They will not get it. The one time he fucking got it. And maybe again that I'm going to chalk that to it's week one, man. And these guys, they're still getting warmed up. So great looking turnovers, but I just want to stay optimistic, but not crazy optimistic. But
you should feel good though.
I felt good, but it also felt like the same old Cowboys when I'm going to bed and I'm mad as fuck. That felt like it. I was like, oh, football's back.
There's a lot of memes.
I'm like, well, Cowboys are America's team. You're always going to be memed out, win or loss. But haven't had that. Damn, they really, the offensive PI? I'm in bed like, wife, you saw that though, honey. It's a PI. They throw the flag there every time. They didn't throw it that time. Pittsburgh Bills, who you got?
Yeah. Pittsburgh, Buffalo, again, lots of storylines. You know, Najee Harris. I mean, this kid's been, you know, basically, the you know, again, NFL pundits have blown him for the last 6 months. Might I add that possibly Derrick Henry is the only Alabama running back in the last 10 years to actually have a decent NFL career. Maybe Mark Ingram, but it took him a while to get his footing.
Yeah, I would say Mark Ingram.
So I don't know if you can necessarily trust Alabama running backs, but Najee Harris is there, and he's a very talented young man, and I am looking forward to see what he can do. That offensive line is a little suspect. Got a lot of rookies on the line, a lot of guys coming back from COVID. So match that up with Buffalo's new revamped and younger pass rush defensive line. I think that, you know, there's a little bit of a mismatch there possibly for Buffalo. Ben Roethlisberger, I mean, the guy's like, what, 38 now, 39, 40? Like, he's pushing those numbers.
He's up there in age. We keep trying to say it's okay to be old as a quarterback, but he's looking old.
He's looking old and fat and slow. And
yeah, the fat
like a retired guy, man. He looks – to me, he looks like a guy who's jumped ship a long time ago. He's just in there for a paycheck. But then again, last year he had a pretty good statistic. And, you know, he's got – Claypool now, one solid year in the NFL, so, you know, he knows the playbook. You still got Juju, everybody talker. You got Najee Harris now, and you got some other pieces on that offense that could work. Pat Freiermuth is going to be in and out with Eric Ebron, so he's got weapons. We now get to see if Big Ben has enough usage in the tool use those weapons to put those to work. On the other side of the ball, you got a young, hungry Buffalo Bills team who just went to the AFC Championship. I hope everybody remembers the last thing on the field was Stephon Diggs staring at Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs as they collected their AFC Championship. And he's just stayed there. And as a Bills fan, that memory, that image is burned into my memory. Stephon Diggs wanted that game. He knew that he was that close to going to a Super Bowl, and he didn't get there. And this is going to be a year where Buffalo has a lot to prove still. Like, I'm not going to sit here. I know a lot of people, again, talk about darlings of the NFL, you know, whether they be the Packers or whoever. The Buffalo Bills have kind of become a darling also. People talk about the Buffalo Bills a lot now. Talk a lot about Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And rightfully so, when you're a good team, you should be talked about. But as a Bills fan, Jay, you get it. You know, pessimistic versus optimistic. Well, you know, pessimistic Jesse says, let's not get too ahead of ourselves until we've actually gone to the big game. But as far as this game's concerned, the storylines are all there. It will be a good game. I think it'll be a pretty high-powered offensive game. And it's going to come down to, can the Buffalo Bills defensive line stop the run game of the Pittsburgh Steelers? Because I'm pretty sure that Big Ben's not going to be passing for 500 yards on us on Sunday night. Josh Allen versus the Steelers has had mediocre passing games. I'm not sure why. It's just the looks that they give him. I expect that trend to continue. I love Josh. He's going to be another MVP candidate this year. But the Steelers and like the Miami Dolphins, the Patriots, they just kind of have his number when it comes to stopping him from passing the ball so well. I don't know why, but the Steelers will give him those looks. And I don't believe he's going to have some 80-yard, you know, passing game. He'll throw probably like 275, 285, put up a couple touchdowns, run for one, and then hope that Singletary and the rest of the offense can do a little bit more. I am going to take the Buffalo Bills, but I think it's going to be close.
Yes.
It's going to be closer than what people – so, but I'm taking Buffalo. I got to. I can't. You know, I'm going to take Buffalo.
Of course. I think I'm expecting nothing less. Buffalo 6.5-point favorite, Jess. So Vegas, they love them.
The darlings. Yeah.
Listen, you're right, Jess. Again, you've told no lies here in these takes. The Bills have become that second or third segment of First Take. They're the second or third segment of NFL Live and all these big shows. Josh Allen makes waves. I think Buffalo is going to win this game. I'm starting to drink the Kool-Aid. I think that they're going to be an AFC powerhouse. I'm starting to drink a little bit of it, but I need to see how these teams look week 5, week 9, week 13, where just things change. But as of now, just going week to week right now, we're doing week to week, right? Right now, what's in front of me? I like them against Pittsburgh. I think it's a close and competitive game. Wouldn't be surprised if Pittsburgh is up in the fourth quarter and Josh Allen gets enough of that magic to make it happen. I don't think, again, I'm in agreement with you. I can see a scenario where one running back's got 80 yards, another running back's got 90 total yards, because there's just a lot of just having to run the ball, having to try and break that defense up. I like what the Steelers are doing, but again, I agree with you. I don't know what they're going to do with Big Ben. Big Ben is starting to feel a little bit Steve DeBergish here. And also another Steve Young. I don't want to see Big Ben taken out on a stretcher for his last play of his career, but I feel like we might be waiting, you know, wading into those grounds, swimming into those territories. I guess you don't swim in the ground. So let me change that shit up. But you get what I'm saying. I feel like we're going to get more negative out of Big Ben than we are positive. And again, I think that's why the offense is thinking, hey, we're just going to run the ball a lot and let Big Ben make those play action throws that he's good at making, because he's still got a good deep ball and he can still make a throw when he needs to. But Big Ben shouldn't be throwing the ball 45, 50 times anymore. That shit's done. He just ain't got that juice in the arm anymore. They got to bring that shit down to 25 to 30, 35 throws a game. I'm sorry. They got him. If they're going to be successful.
Smash mouth football. It works for a long time.
It's Tomlin. Tomlin. I'm going Bills. This is going to be a great game. I'm fired up for it. One game left, Jess, the Monday night game. I don't want to spend a ton of time on it. The Baltimore Ravens, they're banged up. They just lost their running back for the year. Shout out people like myself who had Gus Edwards on their fantasy team.
I did too.
And are now fucking scrambling. You got enough fantasy teams, you got them on there. They're playing the Las Vegas Raiders. We spent a lot of time talking about Lamar, a decent amount. Are they even letting Lamar into the stadium because he doesn't have a vax? Does he have to show two tests? Does he have to come in? Like, how does that work? I don't fucking know. Jess, who you got?
It's so super weird. I honestly don't know all the entire rules or whatever, because I know that
motherfucker's playing. I'll tell you that.
Look, man, the NFL is not 100% vaccinated. I can tell you that. And
he's playing. Bottom line, he's playing.
Exactly. Like, one way or the other, man, you are not keeping Lamar Jackson from playing in a football game. It doesn't matter. Like, they'll pay out the money or the fine or whatever they got to do. But anyway, you know, you want to talk about a string of bad luck? You want to talk about losing, you know, your potential future franchise running back? And then you go and pick up a couple guys and you drop them because you're like, oh, you know what? We got this Tyson Williams kid. And then we still got Gus. You know,
we'll be all right.
We're going to be fine. One day before the official week starts and Gus Edwards goes down. Not only that, but plays later, your all-pro corner Marcus Peters goes down. They will be without both those guys, all three of those guys. And there's a couple other guys I believe that are on COVID protocol. The Ravens are banged the fuck up right now. With that being said, I still like them better than the Las Vegas Raiders. Don't get me wrong. I love Carr. I know that you love Carr. Shout out to Fresno.
Shout out to our boy Brian.
But god damn, the Raiders, I don't know where Gruden is. I don't know the direction Gruden's trying to take this franchise. I don't know where he's trying to take the offensive line, for fuck's sake. I mean, build something and then build upon what you've already created. Instead, he just plugs people. Plug, 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 plug. And he just kind of hopes it works. And I guess he thinks, well, hey, I won a Super Bowl once, so, you know, I can. It was like five fucking years ago, John. It was a long fucking time ago. You ain't winning the Super Bowl right now. Love Carr. I
don't know what they do with that team, honestly.
Think about it, though. Seriously.
It's like, weird. It's weird. They have,
where's
like,
the defensive
they have
line?
Like, they have good players in spots. I feel like they don't have an elite player anywhere.
No, not
anywhere. I guess Waller the Baller. Maybe Waller the Baller, if you want to make an argument for Waller the Baller.
Possibly. At least he's at least a make top five position.
Does that make him elite? I don't know.
I don't know.
You're making the argument.
The next best player on that team is probably Carr. And then right after that is probably Josh Jacobs. But after those three guys.
We might have some interior guys that we're missing. But
like, where are you going? Where are you going?
You're right. It's tricky.
Rumor that they were trying to shop their – what was he? He was like the third pick in the fucking draft like 2 years ago.
Yeah. And then I think they cut – and then they cut a third round pick from the year prior. Yeah, there's some stuff going on there.
So anyway, would that be, I can't go against Lamar. Lamar's been in the league for a little while. He's still got players. Mark Andrews just signed a big ass contract. He's going to catch a lot of footballs. Tyson Williams, who I mentioned earlier, hopefully you picked his ass up because he's going to get a lot of playing time. I know they just signed, like four fucking running backs. Like what, Latavius Murray?
Yeah, they're not all going to be on
Devontae Freeman and even old ass Le'Veon Bell. They're all coming to Baltimore. None of them are going to play. Okay. I heard that possibly Murray could take some snaps because he is the most game ready at the moment, seeing how he'd already gone through training camp with the Saints. But that's even just a tiny.
I can see a scenario where Murray gets touches because in that offense, I think he could actually be decent.
He's a pretty straightforward runner, north south guy. You know,
yeah, you pick up those
hard three.
Lamar's gonna run play action off that fucker all day long.
Yes, but I'm not gonna go against my other boy, Lamar Jackson. He's my guy, and he's gonna get this team points. He's gonna use his legs. He's not a fucking running back, but he's going to run the fuck you out of the fucking stadium. He's going to throw up some yards. Mark Andrews is going to catch a couple touchdown passes because I don't think he has anybody else to throw the ball to. Baltimore with the win.
Yeah, I agree. Let me give you a quick over-under. And I almost feel like I'm being conservative. Over-under, total yards, Lamar Jackson, 325.
That seems conservative. I'm not gonna push.
Yeah.
I think I could see him doing yards.
225, 250.
Exactly. Two fifty, 260 passing, right. But yeah, $125 on the ground, probably something like that.
$125 is high. Jesus, you got real hard. That's like 400 yards.
Running backs. He's gonna have to do it all. Superman. He's gonna have to start.
They can't stick Le'Veon Bell back there, do a little shuffle back there, lose 2 yards, give him a break, give a guy a fucking rest. They just need a running back there to give him a rest, because my man is just gonna be taking a lot of abuse. We did it. We hit all the NFL games. I want to quickly hit some fights, and we'll get out of here for our combat sports people, our hashtag MMA Twitter people. Jess, you and I are gonna disagree here, so I think this is fun. You're all out on Darren Till. You think he's the most overrated fighter of all time. I want to give you the platform here. You watched the Darren Till fight, and it must have rubbed you the wrong way. Give me some thoughts on what was going on there.
I guy who is super emotionally charged, and that's great. But once inside the cage, he just doesn't know where to place those emotions. He doesn't know how to use them. He got beat the fuck up. I mean, he got beat up. And Derek Brunson is no slouch. I get it.
Yeah, really got to focus on that. To me, it's less about Till and more about Brunson.
And you know, I'll let you go that direction, but I'm just going to focus on Till. Brunson is no slouch. He's on a huge win streak. He's probably next to the title shot. He said he's going to wait. That's for a further, you know, conversation. This fight showed me one fighter who wants it more, a lot more than the other.
I like that take.
Okay. Till was, you could see his soul leave his body. As Brunson just, you know, he didn't, in the thing
you
is,
see him quitting. You could see the emotion shifting too.
Brunson did not have his way with Till.
I'm out.
But, you know, you're right though. You can see Till. I don't want to
the
say
emotion shift, or
I don't
want to
say give up.
Right.
But giving up. I don't think he ever gave up. But you can
maybe
see it, to be nice. Yes, you can see the emotion shift. It went more into a passive aggressive type, you know, offense defense. He did land.
Shoot move at the end, and it didn't pay off. And at that point, that was
it. Exactly. He did land the big punch later in the round. Then you know, he ends up losing the fight, and he devastated. Right, devastated. And then comes out later and says, "Hey man, like I've been fighting and training with a torn meniscus or whatever, and like I kind of lied to my doctors and did all this stuff." Same song and dance we hear from everybody who loses a fight. Well, Derek,
yeah, you just gotta lose a fight, man.
Brunson comes out and says, "Hey motherfucker, I was fighting with a broken rib. I could barely breathe."
I had two torn MCLs. Now what's up?
My elbow was dislocated the whole time.
I love that.
My foot was put on backwards. I looked like
It's like the SNL character where she just has to do whatever you're doing. It has to be one level higher.
Exactly.
Better. That's just like, yeah, you know, I actually was fine with an MCL. It's probably the real reason I lost. Oh, it's funny you mentioned that. I had two torn MCLs, a broken rib. My finger was jammed. I got eye poked in the
my
back.
My dog died literally 3 hours.
Yeah, my dog was kidnapped. It's fucking fantastic.
Darren Till, real quick. Darren Till is 1-4 in his last five. Usually a record like that will lead to a guy's dismissal from the UFC. Dana is perfectly okay with dropping a guy who's lost a bunch of fights. The only thing that's going to save Darren Till is the fact that 1-4 has basically been against champions or former champions. That's the scary thing for me, though. If you're a Darren Till fan, think about it this way. If all he's doing is beating up the cans that are thrown in front of him, but losing all the fights that matter, what kind of fighter is he? To me, that's not a championship caliber fighter. So that's where I'm coming from with the Darren Till take.
If you want to say he's not elite, that's okay. But what I would say is I look at guys like the lightweight champion now and go, this is a guy who started his UFC career really young, fought a lot of guys, lost fights, learned from them, came back, won, lost more. You know, you go through this weird shuffle in your career when you're in the UFC and fighting young at specific divisions, where I think it's okay for you to lose even two in a row, as long as you come back. I'm not ready to close the chapter on, you know, if Darren Till is a championship fighter, but I am ready to close it on if he's an elite fighter. I mean, he's clearly not, but he still has some upside. He still has, I think it's there. The time has to be invested, and I'd like to see where his career trajectory is at maybe 2 years from now. Does he take these losses and learn from them? Does he become a better fighter? Does he continue to, excel, progress, if you will? Or does he become more of like, all right, I'm getting the paychecks, and you start shifting to like, okay, he's going to be great for Bellator. I don't know.
That's my comparison.
Career and I'm good with that.
Comparison is Rory McDonald. Everybody was on Rory back when he was younger. He was supposedly the protege of GSP. He was out there training at TriStar with the former welterweight champion. Everybody loved Rory. Rory came out, won some big fights, lost some big fights. Never really put together a championship run. Came close a couple times, just couldn't put it together. And eventually his career at the UFC came to an end. He had to go to Bellator. I think that he did win a championship in Bellator. I'm not really sure. I can't remember. I know he won a few fights here and there. Ended up losing a couple fights that were really bad. Went to PFL. We all seen what happened last fight he had at PFL. And now he's back rethinking his career again. This is the trajectory Darren Till is on if he doesn't do something about how he trains and who he trains with.
This to me is more about Brunson. And Brunson is just an absolute stud. And I know he got beat up or knocked out by Izzy, but that was years ago. And you got to let these guys get those rematches. And if he's done what he needed to do and he's beat the guys that were put in front of him that were supposed to beat him, at some point you got to go, all right, he's made his mark. He gets that fight. And I'm a big believer in that division is stacked, but he's beat all the guys. I don't know who – if he needs to beat the winner of, you know, whoever it is, Vittoria versus Costa or whatever, okay, so be it. But I would put him in a title fight now. I quickly want to hit Triller because I will be watching this tonight, Jess. My interest isn't in Belfort versus Holyfield as much as it is in Anderson versus Tito. I'm in the same vein of a lot of people where Holyfield probably shouldn't be fighting. I can make the argument of, yeah, but he's in the best shape of any 58-year-old man in the country. Yeah, but he's still 58 years fucking old. That's it, bottom line. No sanctioning body should be allowing any man to fight that's even over 50. That's even over 50 years old. Nobody should be sanctioning this fucking fight. But again, commissions like money. So they just had to fight the right one. Belfort's going to knock Holyfield out in one round. I don't think Holyfield lasts one round. Maybe he does because Belfort's just playing with him and toying with him. But I can't see a scenario where this goes more than one round. Jess, what you got?
I absolutely hate this fight. I hate it because it's scary. It's so scary. To see a 58-year-old man, yes, he's in great shape, man. We've all seen the pictures. We've all seen the weigh-ins. He's phenomenal shape. Vander Holyfield's a professional. He's going to do what he's got to do. He's going to stay in shape. He's never gotten out of it. He's not George Foreman, okay? Like, he didn't come up with a grill and start barbecuing every day.
If you want to say that Holyfield's in great shape, he didn't do a lot of alcohol, he didn't do a lot of drugs, he's not like your typical heavyweight fighter, so he's, you know, he's not like Mike Tyson smoking weed and shit. Okay, that's cool. He's still fucking 58. There's no excusable.
Exactly.
But we got Belfort in what round?
I got Belfort in the first round, and I know a ton of people think that it could easily go the other way, but I don't see how there's any way that Holyfield wins this fight.
Tito versus Anderson. This is the real main event. This is really the fight I want to see. This is really just me wanting to watch Anderson beat up Tito. This is really what it comes down to. It's just Anderson beating up Tito. Tito has no chance of this fight. I don't care if he comes in overweight. I don't care what his theatrics are. He is going to get fucking beat up. I got Anderson and beating him up. I'm talking 5-6 rounds of just beating him up. Who you got?
I got Anderson also. Anderson's going to be fired up. Tito's talked a lot of shit. He's gotten in Anderson's face. We all know that Anderson loves that. It gives him a lot of fuel. And he said it, man. He's like, man, I still got fight in me. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to put on a show. And I expect him to. I think it'll be a decision, but expect Tito to have some lumps at the end of it.
I don't like a decision. I think Tito gets beat up. Maybe even quit on the stool or throw the towel in. Anderson's going to torture this fucking
some
guy.
Some real Tito hate.
Anderson hates Tito, and he is going to fucking torture him. I'm telling you right now, he's going to beat him up. He is going to have – he's going to beat him up. Jess, I need you to close the show because I got to hit the road, but I want to let you know I love you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for showing up. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Hopefully it was a good show. Sorry, I dropped a few too many F-bombs, I feel. I'll clean that up next week. I promise. Enjoy your day, your weekend. You got fights in college football all day today. You got NFL football all day tomorrow. And then Monday, we got the Raiders playing. So the Raiders playing Baltimore. So tons of sports weekend. We're back. Fall sports is back. We love this stuff. It's the best time of the year, at least in my opinion. Please, if you want to interact with us or give us ideas or tell us we suck or tell us that we're great, I don't know, hit us up on Twitter. Follow Jay at Valdez, spelled backwards, 559. Follow me at JTT81. And then please follow the pods show at Team Toss 21, the number 21. And folks, we'll be back next week, whether it's the early riser show or an afternoon show, but we'll be back next week because we got lots of sports stuff going on. And that's what we do. We like to talk sports. We like to talk sports with you guys. We'll see you next week. Peace.